Anybody ready?
Sure.
Okay, I'll start with verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, and having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should not deceive. Excuse me, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw the thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part of the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and destroyed them. And the devil which deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Boy, there's a whole bunch of fallacy that's been caught out of this one. Bunches of it. Okay, back to first one. And I saw an angel, a messenger. Okay, I saw this messenger descend from heaven, from the realm of the spirit. We're not talking about up in the sky coming down to the earth. We're talking about coming out of the realm of the spirit, having a key to the bottomless pit. Now, what is a key? If you don't know what a key is,
something.
What is it?
Something to be able to like access something.
You access something, or you have authority over something. If I have a key to that door, I have the authority to open and close that door.
You can lock it in or out.
Lock it in or out. So it can go either way. But you're right. It's access. You can deny access or grant access. But anyway, he said he had the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. But when this messenger came down from the spirit realm, what kind of message do you think he's bringing?
I have your answer.
He has the answer. Whatever you need, he's going to have your answer. Right?
Yep.
Okay. Having the key, which is the authority to open or close what? The bottomless pit. What is the bottomless pit?
Your mind.
So he has the control of your mind. Oh, my. And a great chain, or a big chain. Now, this chain is a fetter or a manacle. And it means they can lock up your feet or your hands. Talking about your lifestyle and your hands, your works. So he can control that by what he lets loose in your mind or controls in your mind, doesn't he? He has that authority over all that. And he laid hold, or he seized the dragon, the original serpent, which is the devil and Satan, which is the false accuser or the accuser, okay? Now, what do you think that's all about? All those names, there's just four different names there. It's all speaking of the same one. Mm-hmm. Just like we said, there's a lot of different names they call God in the Bible, right? there's a lot of names for this thing, this character. But this character is not a person like everybody thinks it is. It's this thing right between your ears.
That carnal mind.
It's that carnal mind, the accuser. Where are you accused every day, Barb?
In my mind.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So that's the one we're dealing with.
Yeah.
And he said he bound him for what?
1,000 years.
Doesn't the book say 1,000 years is but a day to God? And a day is as 1,000 years. Is there any difference? Not to God, there isn't.
So
in God's timing, he's just going to be there for a short period of time. Right?
Just a day.
That's in Genesis 1 and 2. But anyway. And cast him into the bottom. He bound him up and put him where?
Put him out of your mind.
Put him in your mind. He put him in the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit is your mind. So he put him in there for a season. See, we all have to be tested and tempted for a season, don't we?
Yeah.
See, people taught that backwards, like you were throwing him out, but he put him in our mind to test us. And what we talked earlier about the testing, you have to have your testing. So God understands the principle of positive and negative. Without positive and negative, there'd be no life on this whole universe. This whole planet would be dead without positive and negative. We have positive and negative in our bodies and all the plants and the animals and everything. God understands that. He knows how it works, and he's set it up to work just the right way. But he put him in the bottomless pit, the mind of humanity, and shut him up and set a seal upon him in order that he should deceive the nations. That word no really isn't there. It's really not. Look in the language, you'll see that's really not there.
Okay.
But anyway, it says the nations, in the word more, should be still. He should deceive the nations. I'll go back up and say it again. In order that he should deceive the nations still. Till the 1,000 years be fulfilled. Ooh, different context, ain't there? And after that, he must loose for a little season. big change there. I never picked up on that before. Till this time.
Hit that again real quick.
Okay. In order that he should deceive the nations, the imaginations, the minds, still, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after this, in the midst of this, he must be loosed a short season. Changes everything. Where it showed like he was holding him away from us, not letting him deceive us, but he put it there so you have to be able to tell the difference. Why would God let us be tempted?
So you can realize what you know, what you've learned.
You worked in a bank, right?
Yep.
How do they train you to find the counterfeit?
They show you how to look for it, how it feels.
Yeah, but what they told me was at the bank, because I asked them, they said, we teach them by never letting them touch the artificial, only handle the real stuff. And when the artificial comes along, it's automatically, something's different. It don't feel right.
Well, I mean, that's not how they should. I mean, you normally could tell the difference because you touch.
The paper is different.
All the time.
Yeah. But if you know the real thing, when the artificial comes along, you'll know it.
Yeah.
There has to be some experience, some test, how you get there. How do I know that what the church teaches about hell and torment for eternity, how do I know that's not real? Because I've experienced the love of my Father.
That's not love.
See, that's not love. If God is essentially pure love, how could somebody as pure love torment you and torture you? Could you imagine your dad doing that to you? See, it can't be.
You know what the fruit of the Spirit feels like, tastes like. It's in you all the time.
But when you know love.
Whenever that other hatred and stuff, that don't fit.
Intellectually, if somebody says God's all loving and all.
But he's going to burn you in hell.
Yeah,
it's an oxymoron, Barb. That's an oxymoron. That's an oxymoron. Can't possibly be.
It's one or the other.
Yeah. Can't be both.
What is it, yuck?
Yeah.
I think he stopped on four.
No, I was trying to look at... Okay, I was just looking at my notes there. What, hard for me to see because I write so tiny.
Yeah.
But he says loose for a little season or a short space of time. Verse 4, and I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. Now, what's a throne speak of?
Authority,
rulership, okay, and some kind of a leadership, okay. And it said, they that sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. The scripture says this: all judgments given to the Son. Mm-hmm. Okay, are we not Son? Mm-hmm. Because He's a many-membered body. Yeah. We're a part of that Christ body, that Christ Son. Okay, yeah. So. Judgments given to the sons, the many-membered body. Mm-hmm. Okay? And judgment was given to them. Now, what kind of judgment do you think that they will mete out if they are truly Christ's?
Not guilty.
Father, forgive them. Don't know what to
see?
Do.
See what I'm saying?
They're ignorant.
This is not hard to figure out once you get the pattern. When Jesus was on the cross dying, He said, Father, forgive them. He was showing you the heart of the Father. So the heart of the Father is the heart of the Son. And if it's many-membered sons, guess what? They all have the same heart. Father, forgive them. It's going to be a not guilty verdict from all of them.
Yep, unanimous.
Okay. And I saw the souls of them, and daggone it, I meant to look at that word, and I got sidetracked on another view.
Which word?
Soul, right there.
Okay, give me just a second. I can get my eyes on. Soul, right there.
Yeah.
Okay, it's suke.
That's it. Yeah, but it means spirit, though.
Spirit, yeah.
Yeah. See, I saw the spirits of them, because souls don't, flesh and blood don't enter the kingdom, okay? The word soul, Adam became a living soul when spirit was introduced to his flesh body. Right? He was made out of the dust. God put His spirit in, He became a living soul. So the two things made a soul. Mm-hmm. Souls cannot enter the kingdom of God because they're part flesh.
Yeah.
Flesh and blood does not inherit the kingdom. So this word has to be, and that's why I said it, it caught me there, it has to be spirit.
Yeah.
He saw the spirits of them, because the only thing that can enter the spirit realm is spirit. Correct? You agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
The flesh can't enter the kingdom. Right. So it has to be spirit, not soul.
Spirit would cancel the Father.
Right. So the spirits of them that were beheaded, okay, what's it mean beheaded?
Lost their identity.
They lost their identity and took on the identity of their brother. They lost their Adamic identity and retained their true original identity.
Yeah.
We were created in Christ. Okay. Our identity was Christ before we became Adamic through Adam. Correct?
Yes.
So they lost that, and for the witness, or the martyrdom, martyria, for the martyrdom of Jesus. Okay? He died so we don't have to, right?
Yeah.
We don't have to physically be hung up on a tree. It was symbolically hung. While He was there, we were there with Him, according to Romans. Through the word of God, and through the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast. What is the beast? Self. It's self. Okay. Man is but a brute beast made to be taken and destroyed. It's the beast's nature we're talking about. Neither his image, neither had received, or... And the word received really doesn't do it justice. Literally, it should say they obtained it as their own. Just like today, you can go on TV and turn that thing on, and you go to a ball game, and I enjoy ball games as much as the next guy. But these people come in there with their faces painted, dressed up like all kinds of weird-looking things, like animals or something, to portray their idol, their God, that they're so hung up on, images of the world. Okay. Well, you can go too far. Nothing wrong with having a good time. But when you got to where these people run around, like when we was in New York, there was people running up and down the streets dressed as anything you can imagine, you know. I mean, I don't even want to go back there in my mind. But, I mean, it was horrendous, the things that they do. And you'll see it every day on TV when they're playing the ball games. They're so wound up in their characters, they're actually idolizing in their mind that is like a god to them. Wherever you spend your time, your talent, and your treasures, guess what? That's your god.
But that's not all external.
No, I'm talking internal, but I'm saying the world only sees it as external. They have no capacity to take it inside. So, but anyway, they worship the beast, neither worship his image, nor received his mark upon their foreheads. What's that? Their minds. Or in their hands, that's in their works. And they lived and reigned with Christ. And literally the word right there, it says meta, in the midst of Christ, 1,000 years or a day, you know, whichever. So they're living with him. See, we can live with him now. We don't have to wait to die and go to heaven to be with Christ or God. Christ is in us now. That's the whole point. That's the message that they're not telling you. You don't have to wait to go to heaven, because the heaven is a fallacy anyway. When we die, we go back to God. We go to the realm of the spirit. We don't go to someplace up in the sky. But somebody come up with that idea. Even if you use the realm of it and say they went to a higher realm, would be feasible. I could buy into that. But not up in the sky somewhere. Yeah. Just a higher realm spiritually.
Yeah. It's in the spirit realm.
But the rest of the dead... Now, who would that be, the rest of the dead? The dead who died in Christ, but what about the rest of them that died?
Except the carnally.
The carnally people that God hasn't called just yet. Christ. It's not their time yet, okay?
They're dead
in their flesh, you know.
Yeah.
They live not again until the 1,000 years or the day were finished. This is the protos resurrection. That's the first resurrection. And he goes on to say, blessed and holy is he that has part of this first resurrection. The ones that live in Christ when?
No.
Right now. This is the first resurrection. Sorry, I don't need the second resurrection. I want this first one. There's a first resurrection we can live now, or we can wait until after we die to get there. That's not my goal.
1,000 years or a day, but...
There's no difference.
First, second, third day. Is it the third day you're coming alive?
Sure.
So
it's the only day you can be. That's the only day there is.
You're living in this.
Here. If you're anything other than... In the third day is the only one that counts. That's where perfection comes. So anything behind that is history, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be the first resurrection when you're coming alive in Christ?
Yep. Sure it is. And, see, I'm on 6 now? No, I'm still on 5, wasn't I? No, 6, yeah. Blessed and holy is he that has part of the first resurrection. Upon these people, the second death has no power. But they shall be priests, right, of God and of Christ, and shall reign in the midst of him 1,000 years. And it's literally not 1,000 years, we know that. It's 1,000 years or a day. It's just a period of time God wishes it to be. See, so the second death has no hurt upon you. Once we die to ourselves, and that's why he's talking about the one that were beheaded, not literally beheaded, but they gave up their identity willingly. They were martyrs. They gave up their life willingly of living as an independent human being on the earth, or living for Christ, or living as Christ would be better worded, wouldn't it? What do you think? Living as Christ or with Christ?
As.
Absolutely. And when the 1,000 years of the day is expired, the accuser shall be loosed out of his prison. See? Where was he locked up at?
In the bottomless pit.
In the bottomless pit. And that's your mind. See, he was locked in there.
And you locked him in there.
And there you go.
You kept him for a penny.
Yeah. He bit you a few times. And verse 8 says, and shall go out to deceive the nations, the imaginations, which are in the four quarters or the completeness of the earth realms, the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog. Now, what do you think Gog and Magog is? Now, the rest of the verse helps bring us into picture, but I'll say it now. Gog and Magog represent the dust and the sand, the Passover and Pentecostal realms. Okay? And if you go ahead and look up there in the rest of that verse, mine goes to the next column, says the number of whom is as the sand of the seashore. In covenants we have dust, sand, and stars. Anytime you say dust, that's the first covenant. When you say sand, it includes the first covenant. You can't have the second covenant without the first one. They go together. And when you go to star covenant, you can't have it without the dust and sand first. Nobody just walks in and says, I'm in the third day. You know, you start through a process and you mature and grow and experience things until you get there. So, they shall go out to deceive the nations. Who is getting deceived?
We are.
Huh? Now look, Gog and Magog.
The first and second day. People
the first two realms of my mind, yeah, in the dust and sand. When I first started in quote, the church realm, man, I thought I had it going on. I did. Boy, I could quote scriptures, and man, I could just whiz you. I could just tell them words, boy, just roll them out all down, couldn't I?
Yeah, sing tenor in the choir.
Yeah, just done everything, boys. I'm going to tell you now, I had it going on. And then I found out there was more than that. And then when I got there into that next realm, it was pretty confusing, that Pentecostal realm. And when I got there,
made the devil mad.
Yeah. People were coming in prophesying. I was making the devil mad, mm-hmm, doing things he didn't like. But you know, that's, you found out there's something else. And here's the way I expressed it years ago. It's kind of like that proverbial carrot in front of the horse. Just keep it out there just far enough you can't get it. You just keep reaching for it. And that's the way God did to me. Everything that I experienced through my walk with Him, it was never let me stay there and play with something very long. You know, like a new toy. He'd give you a new toy and you play with it a little while and he'd say, okay, lay it down, here's another one. And make me get up and walk across the room to get it. I couldn't stay there and play with it. I had to go somewhere else with it. It just kept me moving all the time. And that's what you have to do. You have to keep on. What did Abram, he told him, get up from your comfort place here and go that way. Abraham didn't do what he was exactly told, but he did move.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to get up out of our comfort zone and continue moving on in whatever he wants us to do. And you don't have to get nobody's approval for it. Right?
Absolutely.
You don't have to get someone to approve everything you do. If you feel God's taking you, that's between you and God. No one can judge that but you and Him.
That's dust and sand. Mm-hmm. It's a serpent's food.
That's what it said. The dust and the sand is the serpent's food.
Like Isaiah said, the upward equals are in the third realm.
He said there's a higher way.
Mm-hmm.
It literally says highway in King James, but it should say higher way. There's a higher way where the vultures the lion can't walk and the vultures can't fly there.
Mm-hmm.
That's a higher way.
Down on the dust and sand where the
serpent food
is.
And that's what he said right there. He says, mm-hmm, the dragon, the old devil, the serpent, and Satan, they're the ones that's bound up in the pit, right in here, and they're there to deceive you.
You keep feeding them as long as you stay.
And as long as you stay in those first two realms, you're serpent food. They're going to beat you up constantly. If you come out of it, you're going to get beat up worse, but that's okay because that's for a good purpose. In the first two realms, you're not getting anything out of it. You got to keep moving.
I was saying it kind of says the same thing in Isaiah in a different way. It shows that picture,
mm-hmm,
right here, the dust and sand.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. I was sitting in a church, and Lois was sitting beside me when I got a revelation in this right here, this Gog and Magog.
Yeah.
And the preacher at the time was preaching on it, and I said, "Oh Lord!" And I started going, turn and look at the things, you know, and Lois said, shh, shh, shh. He's preaching. I said, shh, God's talking. I don't care about him. I want to hear God. God's talking to me. I didn't know who was talking out of him. But it's just, you got to understand, it's got to be, it's not necessarily the protocol that everybody else says it should be. It's got to be what God wants it to be, for whatever reason it is. I'm down with that. And here's the verse right here that really kicked it out about Gog and Magog. When it said about the sand of the seashore, that tells me it's Passover and Pentecost. And they went up on the breath of the earth. Now notice, the dust and the sand, the Passover and Pentecost realm, they can't get to the Star Covenant because they're bound on the earth. They're earthbound. It says they went up on the breath of the earth and compassed or surrounded the camp of the saints. Who do you think the saints are? Tabernacles.
Well,
Star Covenant.
Three, right?
Yep. The beloved city, that's the sons again. See, that's the Tabernacles, the Star Covenant. See, we are that beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Now let's break that down too. Because the fire is what?
Purification.
Yeah. Fire is the purification. It came from God out of what? The realm of the Spirit. See, it's purification and correction. And devoured them or consumed them. Now, what did it consume? Fire can't consume spirit, can it?
No.
What can it consume?
Flesh.
Flesh.
Okay.
So the fire that God sent, those testings and those trials and those hard things that come in our life, what do?
Get rid of all that fleshly thinking.
You hear that? The hard things make you grow. So God sends these things to us, doesn't he? He sends the fire to us. He sends this to us to consume everything in us that can't enter the kingdom. Because until we get purified, how do we get into the kingdom? Till we get our thinking right, how do we get back in the kingdom?
Well,
we can't.
Thalipsis of God. That's the only way.
That's the thalipsis of God, absolutely.
This word right here, from, right in front of God.
Ek, from out of.
No, it says it's APO. It's a.
Like it's also from, too. That word's used for from. What's it say there?
Some separation.
Yeah. Or of separation, motion places. Of apart from the whole, separation of apart from the whole. Well, yeah.
It's separating.
Separating the bad from the good.
The word of God is sharpening any two-edged sword, dividing us under the word, the spirit and the soul, right?
See, it says there where a part of the whole is taken.
That's what, it's saying it again. I'm saying that one word right now.
See? And sometimes they use from with it. Well. Yeah. Hey, right there it is, from. Okay, I know both words are used, but yep. I see what you're saying there.
Yeah, it's basically stating that again.
Mm-hmm.
What it's doing.
It's separating. It's like the wheat, the grain floor where they garner the wheat, mm-hmm. and they chafe it out. You know, get the chafe out of it. Okay, verse 10, and the devil, that accuser that deceived them, was cast into the lake of fire. Okay. What is fire?
Purification.
Fire and brimstone. Fire is correction. And sulfur, which brimstone is the word for sulfur. Theos is the word. Theon. Theon is the word for sulfur. Theos is God. That's God fire. Okay. And anyway, it's sent from God as divine purification. So the lake that burns with divine purification and correction is what the lake of fire and brimstone is. It's not torment like that most people teach. Where the beast, that's the natural man, right? The Adamic consciousness. And the false prophet, that's the religious imposter. And shall be what? It says tormented, doesn't it?
No, it's touched
on. Well, no, but it says tormented in here.
Yes.
The King James says he'll be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's not what it says. He will be tested, okay? It's touchstone. He'll be tested into the age of ages. Now, that's not the end. See, to the age of ages. It didn't say be done it forever, because forever is something different. That word right there is aeon of aeon. It's the age of ages. So he's going to be tested. And ages is a period of time that has a beginning and an end. So it can't possibly be forever. It can't ever be eternal, because there's an end at the beginning and there's an end at the end. And there's two ends to it. So it can't be eternal. So he's going to be tested for a certain period of time, right? Until when? Till all the flesh is burned up. Till it's all been sifted out of you. All them testings. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And that word heaven is not really heaven, it's sky. The earth and the sky fled away, and there was no place found for them. What do you think the earth and that word, their word heaven, sky, should, what do you think it's talking about? Heaven being a contrivance of the religious realm. Okay? Is that right? We know the earth is not a spiritual thing. Correct? The earth is talking about the natural, and their heaven, speaking of something spiritual, something the church has devised, their religious beliefs. Okay? There was no place found for them. It's going to come a place in your life when God gets through sifting things out of you. There's not going to be any place in you for earthly thinking, man's way of doing things. There's not going to be a place for man's religious thinking in you. There's no place for it.
Never was.
Well, we created it, so God bound it up in us and made us live with it for a while. But there's going to come a time when it's out of you, and that stuff will never be part of us again. God doesn't do things temporary. He does them for all time. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is life. Now, it doesn't say the book of life. It just says, which is life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Okay? And you can go back to Matthew 16:27, I think, where it says, every man be judged according to the works. And the sea, verse 13, what is the sea?
Humanity.
Humanity. And humanity gave up the dead, which were in those, okay, were the ones in it. And death and hell, that's the carnal mind and the grave, okay, mm-hmm. Hell is the grave, it's the word Hades, which means grave. Okay, so the carnal mind, Romans 8:6, to be carnally minded is what?
Death.
And delivered up the dead which were in them. Okay. Said deliver up the dead, the ones in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell, that's the carnal mind and the grave again, were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So, remember that commercial that Fram had out, pay me now or pay me later? It said the one that's left going to get thrown in the lake of fire. You can go in now or you can go in later. Which way you want to do it? Always costs more later.
As long as it's all done.
It's going to get done. See, there's the reconciliation of all message right there. Because no matter how it ends up, he's going to get everybody back out of it. How could he live? How could he lose to a fictional character?
They don't realize when they give the power that they're saying this being is
a monster,
it's the same
powerful.
As God.
Yep, that's because exactly what they're saying.
If he could take something away from God, then he's as powerful as God too. Yeah.
And this last verse says, and if any was not found written in the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. So anybody, the only ones written in the Lamb's Book of Life are the first fruit sons that he chose before the foundation of the world. Well, when he chose them, everybody else gets to go through. They still have to go through, but everybody's going through. Doesn't make any difference. So I stood and talked to a man on the post office steps one day down in Portsmouth, and he was telling me how big a devil the devil was. He got so mad at me when I told him the devil was nothing. I said, he's like a dirty diaper. You just throw him away when you're done with him, you know. I said, I got done with him a while back, you know. You know, they're good for one thing, catching all the crap, and then you can throw them away, you know, just like a diaper. He would, I mean, that devil was his idol, buddy. I mean, he thought...
He was standing in front of him at that time, weren't you?
I've been accused of that a whole bunch of times. A whole bunch. If you got any questions, don't be bashful about asking.